Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this Sunday comes from our Old Testament reading heard just moments ago. You may be seated. I want you to travel back in time with me to the year 930 BC. To the time of King Solomon. It is in Jerusalem where we would see a thriving community, a community that they said had so much silver, it equaled the amount of stones in the city. A city where there was peace and no war in sight. In this city sat King Solomon on a throne of the finest gold imaginable. Next to this throne sat 14 lions, 7 on one side, 7 on the other. Throughout his palace, it was said there was an abundance of pools, spices, and gold. So much gold that every single cup in the palace was made of it. Not a single piece of silver, since that was the common man's metal. Not only was King Solomon rich, but he was wise too. 1 Kings 10 talks about how the Queen of Sheba came to the city to test King Solomon to see how wise he truly was. She asked him numerous questions, and for which he was able to answer every single one of them. She was quite impressed, and his reputation quickly spread throughout the land of his wisdom and riches. People would come to Jerusalem to see King Solomon and to hear what he would have to say. You could just almost imagine it. You'd have all these kings and queens gathered in the courtyard, just curious to what King Solomon is going to tell them. All of a sudden, King Solomon walks in his finest robe. The crowd is silent. He gets up and he speaks. Vanity! Vanity! All of this is vanity. These clothes are vanity. This gold, vanity. This whole palace is vanity. My wisdom, honor, pleasure, vanity. Could you imagine what's going through everybody's mind at that time? Is this guy crazy? What's he talking about? We traveled all this way to listen to him tell us that everything is pointless? Man, at least we still have our riches, right? King Solomon speaks one more time. Riches! Vanity! The people are stunned. For they are realizing for the first time that their whole life is meaningless. The vanity of riches is one of many vanities that King Solomon talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes and is our main focus for the sermon today. It's important to understand that when King Solomon says riches, he's not just referring to the number that's in your bank account or the dollars that are in your wallet, but he is in fact referring to any of your possessions. So say it's your truck, your house, tractors, TVs, computers, you name it. All of this is included. So why is it that King Solomon says that riches are vanity? Verse 10 of our text says, "The one who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income." When the gathering of material goods is your goal in life, you will never be satisfied. As goods increase, so does your desire to obtain more goods. You'll never find enjoyment, since your heart is always seeking to be satisfied. It's distracted by what it doesn't have instead of what it does have. This throws you into an endless cycle of always wanting more. Looking back at our text, King Solomon points out three different ways that riches bring vanity instead of enjoyment. The first, he says, when goods increase, they increase who come to eat them. What this means is people covet your goods. Picture with me, have you ever bought a new piece of equipment? Say a truck, computer, video game, any of this stuff. What's usually the first thing that happens? Well, as soon as family and friends start to hear about it, they come to your house. They want to check out your new ride, maybe test drive it, right? Well, they'll say how happy they are for you. But being sinners and being in our sinful flesh, we realize that we covet. We want that new truck. We want that TV. We want that video game. They may ask on multiple occasions to borrow it. And for you who have these riches, anxiety can increase. You try to find new ways of protecting it. You pull your riches closer to you. The second way riches bring only vanity instead of enjoyment is what King Solomon says in verse 11. To what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? This means that if you were to realistically look at all your worldly goods, you would see them for what they are, worldly goods. For the one who has amassed a huge pile of wealth, he'll eventually look at this pile and say, yeah, I have everything. But now what? What do I do with this pile? The ownership of possessions quickly turns from enjoyment into boredom. The third and final way riches bring vanity instead of enjoyment is that the desire to obtain riches hurt those around you as well as yourself. Desire is a sin that first manifests itself in the heart. And from there, it spreads out to the other parts of your life. This desire to obtain more riches may lead to you breaking more commandments, such as the eighth commandment by falsifying information, maybe adding an additional zero to that check, or by stealing, which is the seventh commandment. Since these are all sins and consequences are tied to them, you will have to pay the temporal consequences. Thus, you lose the chance of losing your family and your wealth. Not only have you broken the second table of the law, commandments 4 through 10, but you've broken the first table of the law, which is making riches your God. For this, you must suffer the eternal consequences. For as our gospel text says today, how difficult is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. By making riches your God, you run the chance of losing your faith and also being sent into hell, where you will suffer the flames there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, repent. Repent for the times this week that you have made riches your God. For the times you have laid up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And as King Solomon says in verse 25, you come from your mother's womb, there shall you go again naked, taking nothing for your toils. What he means here is that you will leave this earth the same way you came in, empty-handed. So, what's the point of riches? If it sounds like we're unable to enjoy them, are we supposed to just rid ourselves of all this stuff in order to not be led astray. I want to go back to a sentence I said earlier. There's no enjoyment to be gained from riches alone. Did you catch that? The key word there is alone. There's one way and only one way that you can find true enjoyment in your riches, and it's through God. You must realize that God is abundantly rich, richer than any of us could ever imagine. However, not in ways we can fully understand. He's rich in mercy. While in your flesh, you're still a sinner, he looks upon you with love and forgives you all of your sins. This includes the times that you have coveted these earthly riches and have made them your God instead of worshiping the true one God. He forgives you all of these things because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ, from the foundation of the earth, was rich. Yet, for your sake and mine, he came down from heaven and became poor by taking on our very flesh and blood, so that by his poverty we may become rich. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you weren't bought with perishable things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, which he shed for you on the cross. It is through his blood that you have gained the riches of heaven and of this earth, and can now find true enjoyment in life. This sheds new light on our text. Earlier, we saw how King Solomon spoke of the vanity of riches. However, now in verse 19, we see the complete opposite. He refers to these riches as gifts from God. No longer does Solomon condemn riches, and neither does he forbid us from acquiring them now. For whether it's the big gift of eternal salvation through Christ's atoning death on the cross, to the little things of the daily bread that we now receive. And all of them are gifts from God. This makes life pretty simple now. No longer are we anxious about whether or not our bank account has six figures or one figure. Whether we have the newest pickup truck or the one from 10 years ago. We can go about life enjoying all that we do and all that we've been given, while at the same time giving thanks to God for all the days he has given us on this earth. For as King Solomon says in our text today, for we won't remember the days of this life. And because Christ has taken that heart that once was adulterous for riches and has replaced it with a heart full of joy. Ultimately, where you look for enjoyment in your riches matter. For the one who makes riches their God, riches truly are the root of all evil. This plunges people into ruin and leads to destruction. However, for you, through Christ's death on the cross, you have been given the riches of God's kingdom in this life and in the life to come. And for all this, there is much joy in our hearts. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.